Service. Thank God for that. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I've given a title to the message, A Sunrise at the End of Life. We talk about the sun setting at the end of life, and that is true, and Paul talks about that here in some of his wording, but there's also a sunrise at the end of life for the Christian. Let us not quit. Let us press on and continue on and finish. There was a very brave, strong, very fit lady. Her name was Florence Chadwick, and she stepped out into the Pacific Ocean. She waded out there, and she was determined to swim across it, a particular channel from the Catalina Island to the California coast. It was a total of 26 miles. She didn't pick a very good morning to do it. It was a cold morning. There was fog, and it was very thick. The sharks were active, and she had to be protected from the sharks, and the sharks driven away while she started swimming. And she's swimming, and she swims on, and she gets 15 hours out there on the water swimming. And the fog is just as thick as it ever was when she started, and she never could see the finish line. She couldn't see the shore. And she just gets exhausted. She gets tired, and she has her family and her swim coach in a little boat beside her cheering her on, and she says, "No more, I can't do it. Drag me up in that boat." They pulled her up in the boat, and she just fell out from exhaustion, tired as can be. She had swam 25 and a half miles, half a mile shy of the shore. But due to the fog, she couldn't see the shore. Maybe if she could have seen the finish line, she could have got that second, third, or fifth wind and continued pressing on until she got there. Paul is writing some of his last words here to his son in the faith, Timothy. And there's some farewell words at the end of Paul's life. He knows the end is coming for him. And we're going to find some cheerfulness. We're going to find some things for us to be excited about as we would consider Paul's pattern at the end of his life, and when Paul is going to face death. And so he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We might think of a soldier in these verses, a Christian soldier, because Paul says, "I have fought a good fight." Paul was not ashamed of the warfare that he was engaged in as a Christian. Every Christian enters into spiritual warfare when they get saved. And we have a battle. We need to put on the armor of God for that battle every day. There is no way out of this spiritual warfare that we're in. And so Paul has engaged in it. He has fought for the cause of Christ, and he is coming out a conqueror in the end. Paul had a victorious Christian life. And we might not just liken Paul and the rest of us as children of God to a Christian soldier, but how about to a Christian athlete? Because we find in these verses also that Paul says, I have finished my course. Paul loved to watch those what we might call the Olympic Games at Greece. He uses athletic terminology throughout the books that God gave him to write. And you can't help but know that Paul loved to go and watch them. And one thing about it, when he would go to watch them, one thing you could know about those games at Greece is that everyone there was a citizen of Greece. You know, in Paul's day, and he would go to watch that. If you were going to be a competitor, a legitimate competitor, and you were going to be in it to win a prize, a reward at the end, you had to be a citizen of Greece. And it's the same in the Christian race. No one can compete for rewards in this race without being born again, blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be a citizen of heaven to be in this Christian race. Paul qualified for this race. Something happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. His start down the road to Damascus, he was in one kind of race. He was in a religious race, but it was the wrong race. It was a race that did not qualify him to be in the Christian race. But down that road to Damascus, he met someone. He ran into the Lord Jesus Christ. He met him, he received him, and he trusted in the Lord Jesus as Savior of his life. And he had an experience with Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and he became a citizen of heaven. And just like you became a citizen of heaven when you believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have a citizenship here, but our ultimate citizenship is in heaven already, by the way. That's current right now, blessed assurance for the children of God. And so therefore, Paul had a right to run in the Christian race. He qualified and to be rewarded by the Lord for it. But there are many trying to run a race today in religion, and they're going to be very disappointed in the end. There are many who are trying to run a race that's going to have the outcome of the Christian, and it's not going to happen. It kind of reminds me of Ben Johnson in the 88 Summer Olympics in South Korea. He was awarded the winner of the 100-meter dash. Not only did he win the 100-meter dash, but he set an Olympic record. Not only did he set an Olympic record, but he set a world record. First place in that dash, fastest time, records like crazy. Carl Lewis got second place in that race. But after the race was over, it was discovered that Ben Johnson had an illegal substance in his body. So that reward was taken from around his neck, from out of his hands. He was disqualified. He was illegal. He was forfeited from that race, and it was taken away from him. And you know, there are many people who are doing good works today. They're doing good works in the name of God. And look, they're giving their wealth. They're giving their wealth for very good causes, and they're hoping for a reward at the finish line, but there is going to be a great disappointment for very many. They're going to perish, and every one of their deeds are going to go unrewarded, and their deeds are going to perish with them. The reward is only for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and run the race as a citizen of heaven. If someone is saved, then serves Christ faithfully. Hey, there's not just a sunset at the end of life. There is a sunrise, because there are rewards coming for the child of God who faithfully served the Lord. So we see a sunrise of reward for the citizen of heaven, and that sounds good. We want it. What can we talk about tonight and share a little bit that can help us to be better servants of the Lord to receive that great reward. Well, how about being lightly clothed? These bicycle races on TV. What is it? Tour de France? Isn't that a bicycle race? Man, those contestants in that race, they wear the thinnest clothes. Their clothes hardly weigh anything. They won't even keep a water bottle in the water bottle holder on the bike. Somebody passes them water as they're going, and they down it, and they throw that cup down. I don't even think that they want the weight of the cup in their hand. Someone showed me a bicycle one time, and they said it was a bike that was used in such a race as that, and they told me to put two fingers out. And I did, and they said, put it under the frame right there in the middle. And I did, and they said, now pick it up. I could pick up that bicycle with two fingers. I'm telling you, these racers, they're so serious. They're as skinny as a rail. They have negative 2% body fat on them, it seems like. They don't have an extra 8 ounces on them from the top of their helmet to the bottom of the tires. They are serious about no unnecessary weight for this race that they're in. And the runner in the Christian race must strip away all unnecessary hindrances that would weigh us down. Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We cannot be heavily weighed down with the things of this world and run this race that we are called to for Christ. We are not going to be able to follow such a great example of the Apostle Paul if we are too consumed with something outside the cause of Christ that is getting in the way. We are called to a race, and the world is calling us to things, and we have to say no to that call of the world. And we have to look to the call of Christ for the race that we are in. We're to be forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The devil wants to bring up, and our flesh wants to have an appetite for a desire of those old things that are passed away. He would love for nothing more than for you and I to get caught up in the things that we did before we were saved. As we consider the things that we're leaving behind, forgetting, and those things that we're reaching ahead for, that we might could think about the Christian life as well. You know, whether it be the delights or the difficulties, whether it be what you would call good or bad, all of those things, even in our Christian life, the best thing we can do is forget those things. We are in today, and everything, the great things God has used us for, those things that we have done that are wood, hay, and stubble, all of that needs to remain in yesterday. And we are in today to run a race. And the best thing we can do is forget about those things from yesterday. And you know, as I thought about this, and as I think about sermons that I have been on the receiving end concerning this word, I've never preached this word before, but as I think about hearing it, and as I've studied it, it just may be that God has something in mind for me and for all of us here tonight, and that is to consider something that is weighing us down. There may be something in our lives that's hindering us. And look, it doesn't even have to be sinful. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, don't get me wrong. When something gets to where it's hindering us from our Christian life, even if it's not sinful, it's going to become sinful because it is slowing us down from the race. And so it's very possible that maybe every one of us here, God gives conviction, and there's something that'll come to our minds, and Brother Kenneth has to say, you know what, that really needs to go, or that really needs to be to the side. That's a little too close to the center of my walk, and it's hindering my walk. It doesn't belong there. And it needs to go to the side. Something so easily might come to our minds. And hey, some things are rather easy to set to the side. But then you have things, it might involve someone else. It might involve an existing circumstance that we have to deal with. And it might not be so easy. It might not be so quick that we can lay that aside. But we can seek the Lord daily. And whatever it is that might come to our minds, we need to seek the Lord daily for that those hindrances might be laid aside from our lives. It might be someone, and several cases I've known where it has been someone in the life of another. We should love everybody, but some people need to be loved from a distance. You know, if I came to the edge of the platform here, and I'm not going to ask Seth to come up here and see what happens in this battle, but I reckon there's no way I'm going to be able to pull Seth up here, but he's going to be able to pull me down. And where we love everybody and we need to pray for everybody, sometimes there's going to be that weight in our lives that we're just not going to be able to move forward in such a way, whether it be a circumstance, whether it be someone. And the Lord will show us what it is if we will look to Him and want to know. Something might be disturbing in our lives, and we'll just need to say, Lord, what is it, or who is it? Who do I need to love and pray for more? And does it have to be from a distance that this happens? What is the heavy thing that needs to go from our lives? It could be any number of things. We need to be lightly clothed for the race, though, because there are a lot of hindrances. But in this race, look, there are also heavy confrontations. You know, a track, usually around a football field, they try to make sure it's nice and smooth so that, you know, you can run on it pretty easily and freely. A lot of times it's not going to be concrete. It's going to be asphalt or even a mixture of something even softer to help you out with the run. That's not the way the run is for the Christian in this life. The course we're on is not an easy course. The Lord never said it was going to be an easy course. Jesus told us that it would be difficult. Hardships confronted Paul continually. He was in prison. He was beaten. He was cold. He was hungry. He lost the dearest of things for ministry, maybe family, home, friends. Wherever Paul went, he got in trouble for running the race in Jesus Christ. He never quit, though. And he kept pressing forward. You know, there are a lot of quitters today. There are a lot who quit running the race. But God is giving us guidance and giving us encouragement through Paul's pattern here this evening, here at the end of his life. Paul is busting the tape at the finish line, and he is sensitive to those hindrances. He knew it was going to be hard. He did not let any of these difficulties slow him down. We can't give into the temptation of quitting church, of quitting attending, to quit teaching, to quit tithing, to quit singing in the choir. You know, aren't you glad Jesus never quit? A preacher had no idea. He was an older preacher, and he didn't know what MMA or that UFC fighting stuff was. And his grandson set him down one night and he says, "Grandpa, I want you to watch this." And so they're watching it. And long story short, he says, "Hey, you see that guy? You see that guy tapping him real quick on the shoulder? That means that he's done. He quits." You know, that preacher sees that for the first time. You know what he preached from the pulpit the next Sunday? Jesus didn't tap. He made a sermon out of it. Jesus went all the way to the cross. He laid all of our sins on the cross. He left them there, paid for. Should we not give Jesus our very best? He is worthy of you and I never quitting, and He gives us all the ability, all the strength that we need through times of temptation, through heavy confrontation, so that we will not quit. Through heavy confrontation on this rough road that this race is on, we need to be faithful Christians. No matter what the course presented for Paul, he was faithful. Someone said they put him in the Philippian jail and he came out with a prison door under one arm and the jailer saved under the other arm. Somebody said they put him in a Roman jail and a runaway slave ran right to him and then ran right to Jesus' salvation to be saved from his sins. Onesimus it was. They put him in Caesar's cell and all of a sudden Caesar's household had a lot of brand new baby Christians running all throughout it. Though the confrontations are heavy, the faithfulness is to be that much greater. And we can. Not just faithfulness to 4 hours of church plan services a week, but when we go outside the doors of the church. Every day as a child of God, we're called to be a 24/7 witness from our lives to others. That's what this course calls for. What has Paul said here? "I have finished my course." The course is called for all the time from our lives. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we are called to faithfulness day and night. And a central focus from our lives, Paul's focus was simply Christ. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Whether Paul wrote this or not, we surely know that Paul fulfilled this in his life. He was looking unto Jesus and he didn't quit. He didn't fall to the side. He finished his course. There was no fog in the way of the golden shore. He could see the finish line. He could see the Lord Jesus Christ through eyes of faith. He looked beyond the bars of the prison and he saw Jesus in all his glory. And no kind of persecution, nothing that came upon him could stop him from his focus, his central focus on Jesus Christ and also the Word of God. Paul says, "I have kept the faith." And that's not talking about his believing. That's talking about the body of truth. He took the Word of God the way Jesus gave it to him, away from the apostles in a time. Paul wasn't an apostle of men. Paul was an apostle of God, and God gave him his truth. And Paul took back the truth unadulterated, of no use of his own, but for use of God's glory. And he was able to bring that truth back to him just the way it was presented. He kept the faith. The way we stay in our lane and run the course straight in front of us is by the Word of God. And as we think about this race, and as we think about running the course, it's not about speed. It's not about how fast we run. We find by the Word of God that it's about faithfulness. It's faithfulness on the course. The Holy Scriptures keep us on the path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. I will hide its words in mine heart that I might not sin against God. On the path that God has for us, by a central focus on Jesus and the Word of God, when we are running the Christian race, one thing that's going to happen, souls are going to be saved. We may not know anything about it. And I totally believe that statement, because as I think back on the Lord drawing me and people I was watching, and I was wondering what was going on. I was wondering what kind of path they were on, because I had never been on such a path in my life, and the path looked good and I was being drawn to it. I never told some of those people, but they were running the Christian race. And God used it. They had a part in maybe the salvation of my soul. Because I remember my curiosity with people, they were new creatures living a different life than I had ever lived. And God was using that. Souls are going to be saved. We don't know anything about. Souls are going to be saved in our presence when we are on the path, though, that God has us to be on. We need to be central focused as a Christian athlete. You know, this Christian athlete also has a crown awaiting. Verse 8. Let's look at not just the sunset of life. He says in verse 6, "For I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." But look at verse 8, at the sunrise, after the sunset. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." If we have glorified God in genuine Christian works, it wasn't about us, it's not for us, it wasn't for anyone to see, but it was for the glory of God, there is a reward awaiting us. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." There is a sunrise at the end of life for the Christian, because we rest from our labors and we are rewarded for our works. We look forward to seeing Jesus and we long for His return. We love His appearing. If you're here tonight or listening online and you are not a Christian, though, you're not looking forward to the return of Jesus. It's something that what's normal is going to be that's kind of scary. You know, when Jesus comes back to the clouds, it could be any time. He's taking those up who know Him in a relationship. Jesus says in John 17, "This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, that they might do right and not wrong." It doesn't say that. The Holy Spirit's going to lead us to do right and not wrong. But this is what Jesus said. "This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God," to know Jesus Christ. So the return of Jesus Christ, it is not thrilling to the one who is uncertain. And it's a very serious matter. Delay is so dangerous because Jesus could return anytime. And He offers a full and free salvation that every single soul is in need of. Everyone of every religion on every continent throughout this earth, every soul is in need of the free salvation that Jesus offers. Will sinners tonight realize that the one and only true living God, Jesus Christ, has substituted in your place on the cross for your sins, And he says, trust in me. I'll save you from this penalty of sin. I'll save you from the burden of sin. I will give you eternal life. Your eternity will be known and you will have assurance. You will be ready for your departure. So many people go through this life and they don't pack their bags for eternity. There's one simple way for any man, woman, boy, or girl to have their suitcases packed for eternity, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of all their sins. If you are not looking forward to the return of Jesus, it's for good reason. You're not ready for the trip. But if you will trust him, even tonight, he will save you from your sins. He doesn't have anything for you until you know him as Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian, if there's one listening in, someone here maybe stumbling on the sidelines of a walk with Christ, Jesus doesn't have a lot for you right now. You get to go to heaven, but he doesn't have much for that Christian. But it can become more. It can become more by a decision here tonight. We can resolve right here, right now, that we're going to serve the Lord in a better way. He's got backup strength. He has reinforcement and support for that decision. He will bless us with strength for that decision. If we make the decision right here, right now, tonight, we're going to serve him in a greater way. Lord, this weight, it's something, you know, Lord, it's something I've been kind of holding on to. And Lord, I want to let it go in your strength tonight. I want to let it go for your glory. I want to let it go because it will help me in this race that you have given me the privilege of being in. It's only for the children of God, this Christian race is. And I let this go and I pick up greater service to you. You know, someone once said, you can argue with this if you want, but just take the thought and run with it. Someone said, you can't just stop sinning, you need to replace it. You know, we're going to be doing one thing or the other. Our lives are going to be doing one thing or another in a busy way. And we need to fill our lives with the things of God and serve him. Someone told a preacher one time, our preacher preaches the word of God and he lives it. And the preacher said, that's because I'm so busy preaching the word of God. I'm not doing the things that my flesh wants to do. Amen? Let us be busier about the things of God. Let us be willing to let go of whatever is hindering our lives. It will surely be worth it all. You know, that weight, that hindrance just might be some kind of, it might be coming from some kind of suffering that we're going through in our lives. It might be the callousing that we're allowing to happen from something that has hurt our lives. And we've allowed that to become a hindrance in our lives. I tell you what, the Lord will surely make that right and better and then some for you one day. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How about that? The Lord knows what he's doing. Shall not the judge of the earth do that which is right? He doeth all things well. We can trust him tonight no matter what. We can, in his strength, in his power, we can lay that burden down. And we can pick up greater service to the Lord. And number one, that's for the Lord's glory. But let me just say this. It really puts our frame of mind and everything about us in a better place, the place that we want it in. When we serve him more, we're going to have more joy in our lives. That state of despair that's looking to trickle down even into depression, there's some medicine right here in this. Look to Jesus and serve Him in a greater way. It's true that the road is rough, but it's not worthy to be compared with the street of gold that we're going to walk on for all eternity. And we could talk about walls of jasper. We could talk about the tree that bears 12 different kind of fruit and the crystal clear river that flows by the throne of God. But we're going to be with Jesus. It's Jesus that makes heaven so wonderful. And we're going to be with Him for all eternity. And so let us look to Him, central focus, that we know that He's going to make it all better. He hasn't promised the best things in this life, but He has in heaven. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. But the precious promises He has for us when we see Him face to face. Let us run the race till it's over. The Lord wants all to be able to come to Him the way Paul did at the end of his life, that we might be ready for our departure time. He wants to have treasures laid up for every one of His children. He does not give us something to do that He doesn't empower us to do. There is going to be satisfaction. There is going to be fulfillment in doing the work of heaven that we know is impossible in our flesh, and we know it's the Holy Spirit of God that is working through us that these things are happening. Every single one of us, God wants to do great things with all of us in ministry. He wants to use our examples before the world. What a wonderful group of teenagers in this church that God wants to use for that light to be brighter and brighter, to shine in the lives of other young people. I love to teach and preach to teenagers. I'll do it all day long. But every now and then I stop and tell them, I know God will use me in anyone's life. But I'm just going to tell you, teenager, it's so special when you allow God to use you in the life of one of your peers, your age. That is so impacting when a teenager is on fire for the Lord and the things that the Lord wants to do with you. There's no sense in shirking that. There's no sense in shunning that. There's no sense in having a lack of confidence because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you don't know Him, none of this has started for you tonight, though. But the Lord is here tonight in His saving power. And He wants to save you from all of your sins. He wants to give you purpose in life. He wants to give you the work of heaven for you to be immersed in for His glory. But it starts by realizing you're a sinner and that Jesus paid the price on the cross for all of your sins. They are paid for. He will not reject you. He will not turn you away. Will someone tonight say, "Jesus, save me"? Okay, preacher, I hear what you're saying. Show me another verse or two because I think I want Jesus to save me tonight. And guess what? He will. He will. And Christians, He will help us to lay aside that weight. He'll break it down and He'll get it out of the way. And we'll do greater things for His glory. Let us bow to the Lord. Father, again, we come before You tonight. You help us to do the work of an evangelist. You help us that the church